Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hoopercast Movie Hour. Thanks for joining us for this episode. With me, as always, is Mr. Dustin Weldon.
That'd be me.
And I forgot to crack this pepper into my drink. I guess I'll wait till that is salt, not pepper. Who puts pepper in drinks?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just going to let you have it.
Unless it's like okay. A Bloody Mary.
Right, sure.
Which I'm not having.
Right. Solidarity reasons.
Who cares what's in my mug? You know what's in your visual mug is this show. If you're on YouTube, you can check us out on youtube.com/Hoopercast. And then, of course, all the glorious audio places you can catch our show. For real, I have to get this in here. I'm going to forget. We'll talk about that later if anyone cares. So we're going to start the show anyways. We're going to talk this week about a couple of HBO Max movies on HBO Max. Let's get right into the first review tonight. The film is Those Who Wish Me Dead.
Hey, stop. I'm not going to hurt you.
I want to see where the blood's coming from.
It's not my blood.
You in trouble? Anyone else in trouble?
My dad said if anything happened, I should find someone I can trust. Are you someone I can trust?
That's a little bit from the trailer of Those Who Wish Me Dead. This is a film released on, well, simultaneously in theaters and on HBO Max for the next 31 or 30 days, whatever their thing is. So you can check this out in either place. We watched it on HBO Max. The film is the latest from writer and director, co-writer here, Taylor Sheridan, who has written and directed other films that Dustin and I have enjoyed. Like we've got Hell or High Water that mm-hmm. he wrote. Don't believe yep. he directed that. But we've got, the screenwriter of Sicario, mm-hmm. a great Denis Villeneuve film. He also wrote the sequel to that one, even though Denis didn't come back to direct that one.
Yep.
But he was the writer of Day of the Soldado. Also we've got written and directed Wind River, which I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And you were a strong proponent of that film, which is why I ended up seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
He is also the co-creator of the popular show on Paramount Network, Yellowstone, with Kevin Costner. And I hear great things about that. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah, same.
Safe to say that he is, he likes Westerns. He likes making Westerns. He's into Westerns.
Yeah.
Those Who Wish Me Dead was, I knew that it was an Angelina Jolie film. I just wasn't drawn to it in any particular way. And then you said you were going to watch it. You had seen it. And I was like, cool. And I just Googled it to check out stuff about it so I could at least know what I'm looking at.
Yeah, sure.
And then I saw his name and I was like, oh, well, now I'm going to watch this. So right off the bat, that's the association that I have with Taylor Sheridan. He is he's a filmmaker who tends to make films that don't talk down to the audience, don't bother with unnecessary exposition. I think he said as an actor, he just hated that and didn't want to replicate it in his own scripts. Those Who Wish Me Dead is another kind of like, modern day, neo-Western thriller or whatever, starring Angelina Jolie, principally. We have Finn Little, Nicholas Hoult, Aidan Gillen, Jake Weber, John Barenthal in here. And it's a film about a smoke jumper, I think is technically what her job title is, but Forestry Service. Mm-hmm. This character Hannah, played by Angelina Jolie, who has been kind of had her wings clipped due to disciplinary issues and is in one of the solitary towers in the middle of the forest, just sort of watching out for fires. Simultaneous to that, there is a crime plot with these people who have put other people behind bars. And so people are being killed off by these two assassins played by Aidan Gillen and Nicholas Hoult. And through that, this little boy finds himself in her territory of the forest, basically in her area. They're not even from, the area. And so she has to protect this boy and get him to safety and to shelter. And there's a bunch of reasons why can't go straight to the cops, can't use a phone. You know, there's very much a lot of modern trappings that can get people out of thrillers are stripped from the characters mm-hmm. in this story. So it's a very old-timey feeling film in that way, not a lot of modern conveniences on the protagonist side. And it very much feels like a Western. These are Pacific Northwesterners who are all survivalists and know how to use, most of them know how to use weapons, have hidden weapons, some kind of weapons training. I'll go ahead and give them a star rating. Then I'll kick it over to you, Dustin, for your, to give me your thoughts, but just to kind of tell everybody where I'm at. I had this one about 3.5. Mm-hmm. And I'll explain why later, but, what did you think of this movie?
Yeah, I gave it 3. I think it's middle of the road for me. I mean, I don't regret having seen it. And I would recommend it. I mean, I think that it's not a waste of your time. But I don't think it's one that you'll come back to often. I think that, you'll maybe treat this as a one and done. And you know, a lot of times we say that and it's because like the material's heavy or, you know, whatever. That's not the case here. I just think it's like you kind of get everything you need to from it on the first pass. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's a timeless film, if only because, you know, we don't have to worry about like, well, let's check Facebook, you know, and like stuff like that in the film. So it feels a lot more, like this could have existed pretty easily. You could just like set this in the 1980s, or you could go all the way back and set this in the 1800s. And like, you know, and it would be largely the same film. I mean, obviously you have to change a few things, but it would be largely the same film. And so, yeah, I kind of enjoyed that about it. And, you know, like I said last week, talking about Concrete Cowboy, I like Westerns. I like that sort of feeling. And so I've always been drawn to Taylor Sheridan's work. I mean, Wind River felt like a Western, even if it was in snow. And Hell or High Waters certainly feels like a Western. And so, you know, for me on the continuum of Taylor Sheridan projects, this is on the lower end. But I'm still highly interested in Taylor Sheridan as a filmmaker, as a writer, as a director. And while I will probably eventually at some point, maybe see Sicario, that sequel that they made to it, I haven't yet. And then I also have not seen Yellowstone, but you know, I probably will at some point check out those things because I'm interested in him as a filmmaker. Weirdly enough, I think this is probably the first movie I've ever seen Angelina Jolie in. I don't think I've ever seen her in a film ever.
Really?
Yeah. I've had no interest in her as an actress.
You never saw Tomb Raider?
Nope. Never saw Tomb Raider.
You never saw like Wanted?
Changeling. What was that one?
Wanted.
Oh, Wanted? No, I haven't seen Wanted.
Okay, Changeling. Man, I really like Changeling. I was telling someone about that the other day.
Didn't she do one called like Salt?
Salt.
I remember that one. Yeah, yeah. But I never
Maybe
saw any
Maybe that's why
of
I talked about putting salt in my mug at the beginning of the
Hey, there you
show.
Go. It's all connected.
Hey,
it's all connected.
Now I can keep it in.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I so this is like the first time I've ever seen her in anything.
That's
she's
so
fine.
Strange.
You know, she's fine. I mean, you know, whatever.
It's so
it
weird
probably
to
could
me.
Have gone anywhere else. Yeah.
It's so weird to me that in the past 20 years, this is the first film you've seen Angelina Jolie in.
Yep. Never seen her in anything.
This is not a great introduction to her as an actress, this film.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of a bland role.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that, you know, she does a terrible job or that the role itself is terrible. It's just kind of boring. Like it's kind of, like you kind of know the beats of her story from the beginning. And it's just kind of like, it's just white toast. It just is there.
That's such a strange, is that an expression?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm making it one.
Yeah.
And then Nicholas Hoult, again, like Nicholas Hoult is a guy, I've seen him in quite a few things, but I just think he's kind of bland. So to me, stealing the show was Finn Little. I really enjoyed his performance here. I haven't seen him in anything. I guess he hasn't really done much, but I really enjoyed him in this film. I think he does a really great job portraying the kind of intense things that he has to portray.
Yeah.
And that kind of intensity is hard for a child.
Yes.
I think he pulls it off pretty convincingly.
I agree.
At least for me. John Bernthal, you know, is always kind of a delight to watch. So it's just kind of par for the course for him.
But he's like, just himself here. Enjoy him.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, for some, he's another, again, it's like, he feels like a Texas cop who's for some reason lives in like, you know, wooded Oregon.
This is very much like, oh, this is what Shane was doing before The Walking Dead.
Yeah. Like it's just alternate universe type stuff with just him playing a cop. So.
Yeah. And then I was weirdly like, what? When Tyler Perry shows up for one scene?
I didn't recognize him. I was like,
really?
I was kind of like Tyler Perry, but like Tyler Perry, and maybe it's just because they put these really dark sunglasses on him and he sounds like a normal person, where I was like,
right.
This isn't Tyler Perry.
Because they didn't walk up to him and him say, hello, or whatever, yeah. Or whatever it is Madea says. I don't know. I've never seen one of those either.
I almost said Kerr, but that's Cardi B. Not Madea.
Madea and Angelina Jolie are blind spots for me. but yeah, man, like it's fine. Like it's a fine movie. It does its job. It's middle of the road. It's neither super forgettable or super frustrating. It just kind of exists. And yeah, man, like if you're on HBO Max and you're like, what can I watch? I guess it's not a bad choice. I mean, there's probably better things on HBO Max for sure. So you could probably pick one of those, but it'd be fine. And as far as you know, if I'm a Taylor Sheridan fan, should I check it out? Yeah.
And I think that especially if you're a subscriber and you wanted to get one over on, you know, the movie theaters this year, it's definitely worth like spending the time if you were looking to save on the film admission. You know, if you're sitting there thinking like, look, I pay for HBO Max, I may as well watch the new releases. It's not a waste of time. It's just one of those where Taylor Sheridan has done better. And this is just not in, you know, when all is said and done, this probably won't be in his upper echelon of films like Wind River or Hell of High. And I give him Wind River because that's him. That's writer, director, Taylor Sheridan. And I like Wind River. And I just think that the leads in that film are a lot more convincing. And I'll say this, Angelina Jolie, I think, is a strong actress. Or do we say actor now? I think we just say actor now. But she's a strong actor who is a smart person and is a talented person and is also a director herself, and especially to come from where she came from. And you know, if you want to get into the big conversation about like, you know, stars who were, you know, over sexualized and pigeonholed as performers into one kind of thing, she really kept her career diverse, especially into the later 2000s doing Changeling. That was big to work with Clint Eastwood and to do that role. And I really like Changeling. I can't remember if she got nominated or she won for that film, but I enjoy Changeling a lot. I think her performance itself is really strong in that movie. And I think that as a physical performer, she is extremely convincing in most of her films. I would recommend a lot of people go see Mr. and Mrs. Smith, because that's a great film that really showcases her and Brad Pitt really well. It's her especially, just as it's all of her strength. She's drop dead gorgeous. She plays all the emotional beats right, and she can do all the action extremely well, and she's believable, even though she's like a stick holding a shotgun. But that's a Doug Liman film. I just want to direct people to Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And so Dustin, if you've, you know, I recommend it to you because you deserve to see a film of hers where it's actually, she's good and it's entertaining.
Sure. Sure.
Changeling is a little slow, but I'd recommend that as well to you.
Okay.
If we're looking at more movies, our brand this year seemed to be movies where the FBI looks really bad. So Changeling Changeling is going to fit into that for you.
Sure.
I think I said all that to say that I don't buy Angelina Jolie in this role in this film. And it could just be because she's aging. She's a cancer survivor. So I'm sure that all of that has taken a toll on her physically.
Is she really? Like, I didn't even know that.
She had breast cancer. She had a double mastectomy. Wow. And I don't know what all that really entails. I just know that Angelina Jolie is not, God, I hate to do this, but it goes to my point. I need to know how old she is, because I want to be accurate more than anything.
Sure.
Angelina Jolie is 45 years old. So okay. She's in that strange area of age for women in Hollywood where it's hard to cast them. I don't want to say it's hard to cast them like that's why it's a problem. It's just, it's a fact that it's harder for women to get good roles as they age. And she has kind of defied that, but she's getting to the point now where playing a role where she's moving around a lot, is, you know, she's chasing a kid in this, you can see it even in the trailer. You know, she's doing a lot of physical stuff in this movie. And it's just one of those times where just for the first time, I was like, I'm not sure I buy her. And I usually do. Never mind that she probably can't lift a lot of stuff I see her lifting or doing in a lot of films.
Yeah.
Just due to her physical size.
Sure.
You know, which is just a thing in movies anyways. But I didn't, you know, she's jumping out of this tower and falling on her back and running and picking up stuff, and it's just one of those times where just it was just probably her movement. Maybe it just wasn't shot right. Or
so who would you cast instead is maybe a good question, because I agree with you. Like, I think that
I hate to say it, I'd cast a younger person.
I agree. Just
there's no reason it had to be someone in their 40s, I guess, you know.
I think that it should be somebody younger, if only because you know,
this is an immature character who makes a lot of dumb cowboy decisions. And I was like, and so with, you know, with the parachute gimmick at the beginning and talking about, you know, why she got suspended in the first place, I was like, aren't you a little old to be acting like a jackass? You know?
Yeah. Like a 45-year-old woman who's single and has no kids.
Right. It came off as extremely sad, but sort of out of character for someone who's that old.
Sure.
You know, and who I believe to be a responsible person in terms of her job. It just, she didn't, I couldn't buy her. Not, it's not just because she's running around and she's older than me. It's because I didn't buy her character making choices and having an attitude like that.
Or do you flip it and say, okay, well, it is Angelina Jolie. We want her. So now we need to tailor the role to her and say, okay, instead of her being, you know, this like, you know, kind of young feeling character, let's age her up. Maybe she has a child who, instead of she saw random kids die.
Maybe it was her family. Fire,
maybe it's her family.
Yeah.
Right. Or her
kids. That's what I thought it was when the film began. Sure. She's haunted by this past of feeling responsible for the deaths of these kids in a fire. And I remember thinking like, oh, were those her kids? You know, when she wakes up from this bad dream, I was like, oh, her kid's going to run in. And it took me a minute to realize, oh, this is a loner character.
But I guess I
didn't mean to go on so much about that. I think it matters. I think that's part of why this film has issues for me is I love Angelina Jolie. I just don't think this was the right role for her. And not that we have to, when we cast actors, I'm not even going to say old. That would be stupid to call her old. She's 45. She's not an old person. But when you cast actors where it's going to be noticeable that they're doing things that maybe don't really play on camera, I would think that there'd be some element of, okay, instead of like this hotshot who's making all these irresponsible decisions, how about she used to be in command of the whole unit? Like, she used to be in charge. She used to be their commander, their command. I don't know Forest Service hierarchy, their commanding officer. And because of her attitude and her poor leadership and her lack of responsible leadership, she has been embarrassingly demoted to an entry level position on the team. And so this is a big embarrassing moment for her. She used to be better than this. She used to be more trusted, and now she's been sort of benched. And this whole film is redemption, not only for the loss of those children, but it's also redemption for her credibility as someone who can be a leader and make good decisions.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, like I suspend disbelief pretty easily with physicality. But for me, like in terms of just character, it comes across as strange. And I would have the same reservations casting a 45-year-old man in a role like this, that it feels like this is the job and lifestyle of a young single person who has no responsibilities other than their job. And to then age that up to 45 kind of makes the character feel a little irresponsible.
I would have believed like Scarlett Johansson or someone like that. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, or Elizabeth Olsen, like, you know, he just worked with her on Wood River, you know, maybe that's a role for her, but I don't know.
Yeah. I would have believed someone like that who like, they're not like super young, like I'm 25, but like old enough to where it's like, all right, you're like, what are you, like 34 years old? You're old enough to know better than this, but still, you know, yeah, I just would have done it differently. I tune out, and I didn't tune out, but to me, the big, what I think that this film did well was all the criminal elements. I liked watching every scene with the two assassins and trying to find the kid, and all the scenes with them and John Barenthal and his wife. I enjoyed all those scenes a lot more than I enjoyed the scenes with Hannah and this boy. I forgot the character's name.
You know what I enjoyed about
Connor.
That?
Oh my God, his name's Connor.
Yeah, exactly. Although it's Connor.
It is Connor. The wrong Connor, as I like to say.
Yes. What I liked about that is I do think Taylor Sheridan wrote good action beats for those characters, the assassins, because it's very easy to write that and they're like perfect assassins.
Yeah.
And but
he didn't write them inept either. He wrote them.
You want them to be good at their job and good enough to get the drop on everybody,
right,
but also smart enough to clean up their mess after and like remain calm under pressure.
Yep.
Well, but if they're good at their job and they remain calm under pressure, then how do you beat them?
Yeah.
And without like depowering them as the film goes on.
Exactly.
And I felt like they did a good job, even though I do think they get a little depowered as it goes on. It makes story sense.
Yeah.
So it kind of sells it a little better. And so they
depower Nicholas Holt, but I think they were consistent with Aidan Gillen.
Yeah,
I think that his decline in ability is well established in the film.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's just believable.
Yep.
Do you have any final thoughts on this before we go to break?
No, I mean, I recommend it if you're a fan of Taylor Sheridan, if you want to watch like a really good movie on HBO Max. You know, you could probably find better movies, but also if you just want something to put on, it's not a bad, like, it's not a waste of your time.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of wasting time, we'll go, I don't know what that means. We'll go to the break real quick. when we come back, we're going to talk about Greenland, also on HBO Max, and a couple of interesting articles I think that people should be aware of. Back in a minute, Poopercast Movie Hour.
Assume salt water.
We're back on the Hoopercast Movie Hour. Dustin, I'm going to show this. Can you see in here? I don't want to pour it on my laptop. That's just incredibly stupid what I just did. I just held this like diagonal over my computer.
Is it hot chocolate?
All right, so it's brown.
Yeah.
And it's hot.
I should say it's warm,
but it's not chocolate.
And it's in a mug. Is it coffee?
It's not coffee. It's not bourbon.
Is it poop?
Why would I put what amount of salt would make liquid poop taste good, Dustin? I ask you this.
Is it a tea of some sort?
It is not tea. This is microwaved beef broth. Coca-Cola.
Oh, you microwaved beef broth.
Beef broth. Yeah, I bought it at Walmart and I drink it.
For what benefits?
You know, this is a longer story than I guess I meant to get into, but I guess since we're talking well,
I'm too curious now.
I know.
Why are you drinking a cow?
I read and I have a coworker who recommended it to me based on I'm kind of mixing my diet up a little bit. And basically beef broth has a lot of vitamins. And so if you are trying to snack less, it can be helpful where, I need something. I need some salt. I need some kind of, you have like a salt craving.
Sure.
It helps. And especially if you're trying not to drink a bunch of coffee all the time, it's another warm beverage. That's not water.
Sure.
That you can easily have. That's good for you. So,
gotcha.
I did that for a while and then I stopped because the Publix ones are so expensive. I just bought a big jug at Walmart and I just pour that into a mug. So
gotcha.
That's the great mystery. I know.
Not what I was expecting.
I didn't think so. That's why I thought it'd be so fun to put you through the ringer.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of putting people through the ringer, there's a TV Guide article in the show notes talking about what's new on streaming this weekend. And mostly I have nothing that I saw on this list for this coming weekend that I was interested in. We have nothing on Netflix, nothing on Hulu, nothing on Amazon, nothing on HBO Max anymore. Now that we're talking about something about this film coming up, I did write on Disney Plus Cruella. I'm not interested, but I feel like I should mention that that is debuting this weekend on the platform.
Yep.
I guess it's in theaters also.
It is. Yeah, so my wife loves 101 Dalmatians and loves Emma Stone. So there is a possibility I may watch this. I don't know if she'll want to pay for it. So we shall see.
Just continue to emphasize how expensive it would be to watch this film.
Okay. That sounds like a plan.
Not gonna matter.
That sounds like a plan. Hey, but do you know what comes out in theaters?
What?
On Friday? A Quiet Place Part 2.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Man, I want to
back in theaters.
Check that out so bad. I'm hearing good things.
I keep thinking, like, is that going to be the movie that I go back to the theaters for?
It's the first one where I've thought about it. I can't. There's no way I can. But I did look at showtimes to see if it was even going to be playing in the Nexus. And it is playing at the Nexus Cinema Dining in West Mobile. So I'll catch it. I just don't think I'll be able to catch it in theaters.
Sure, sure.
But I love the first one. It's great. Still on Netflix currently, we have The Army of the Dead, Zack Snyder's latest. So you can check that out if you want to. I was going to, and then my consensus pool seemed like it might not be a great idea, but that's just me reading the tea leaves, not giving my own opinion about it. I will say this, there's this article I have here on Collider, speaking of Zack Snyder, he will be teaching filmmaking in a YouTube, not a university, teaching filmmaking in a YouTube series. It says the article says a YouTube series for Netflix, which doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Netflix has launched its first episode. Oh, okay. So it's launched its first episode of its new YouTube series, Snyder School, in which blockbuster filmmaker Zack Snyder takes viewers through his creative process in making a film. This is from screenwriting to storyboarding to editing, advanced post-production. The 4-episode series will be released weekly on the Netflix Film Club YouTube channel. So this does interest me because I don't know about screenwriting or, you know, the creative side of his movies, but Zack Snyder is a very technical, a very technically oriented director. He very much likes his visuals and it is his strength. He's a camera nerd. There's a really good interview with him actually with, on the, Justin Long's podcast. Can't remember what the name of it is, but he has a podcast on Wondery if anyone wanted to know that. And he had Zack Snyder on and Zack Snyder is just a big camera nerd. He likes to understand how they work, what's good about them, what's not great. And so he is the DP for this film as well as the director. And he really likes his shallow focus, and which is a visual choice. But he's not as much as you know, we've kind of given him grief over the years. He's not just some beefcake who who wants to make bro movies. He's a creative guy who has a vision that he wants to execute, and it all comes from a good, honest, and innocent place. He's just not the most creatively capable person when it comes to maybe the story. But if he's going to do a 4-part series on YouTube about filmmaking, I'm at least curious to check it out. And I'm sure a lot of people, I mean, I think that part of why I wanted to bring this article up, Dustin, is because this is one of those things where one of the first reactions I had to it was, Dustin and I went to college to mm-hmm. learn how to make movies. And now Zack Snyder is just going to do it on YouTube for free.
Yeah, we paid a lot of money to learn.
I want to send this to like people like Hofstein and like other professors. Be like, what do you think of Zack Snyder just teaching cinematography?
Right. Yep. Yep.
Instead of
on YouTube.
Yeah. He's written no books about it. Yeah. On YouTube.
Yeah.
Netflix, which at the time we were in college wasn't even on online. It wasn't even instant streaming.
Correct.
Yeah. How do you feel about this? Are you going to check this out at all? I don't even know how much YouTube you even watch.
So. I watch a fair amount of YouTube, but yeah. I don't know that I'm interested. I mean, I'm interested in as much as, no, I'm not interested. I tried to come up with a reason why I would be interested, and then I fell short. I just couldn't come up with one. I like behind the scenes stuff, and I like watching filmmakers talk about their process.
Yeah.
But I also am selective on who I want to draw inspiration from. And I think that with Zack Snyder, I really don't have anything against the guy. I really don't. And like you said, I admire his visual style.
Yeah.
And that he at least knows, like, this is the image I want on screen.
Yeah.
Here's how I'm going to get there. The reason why I wouldn't be interested in this is because I don't know what I can learn from watching somebody make choices that I have no interest in making. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know, I guess if everybody was like, yo, it's really good, you should check it out, maybe, but yeah, I don't know that I'll seek it out.
I'll check it out because here's what I will say about Zack Snyder. I am attracted to Zack Snyder.
To his leg muscles.
to his calves. I am attracted to palpable passion.
Okay.
Sounds like a Starburst flavor.
sounds like a romance novel.
By Daniel Steele. but I do like seeing what I like about him is he's not cynical.
Yeah.
So that's something that at least there's actual sort of a giddiness about him that's fun, I suppose. So this has at least that going for it. So that's available for people who want to check it out. It just says 4 episodes. There's 3 more coming, probably 2 by the time this is out. So check it out if you wish. There's also an article in the show notes. If people want to check it out for some more reading, there is now a producers union. Producers actually of a lot of the talent above and below the line in Hollywood are one of the groups of film employee. God, what am I drawing a blank on? People who work in film who don't have collective bargaining power for things like health insurance and wages and stuff like that. So that's an article on IndieWire that people can check out to read more about it. But it's just an interesting thing. It's just another thing where it's like, hey, similar to the Screen Actors Guild and the Directors Guild and the there's the Producers Guild, but that's I guess different somehow than just a producers union. Okay, let's get on to our second review of the night on the back end of the show here. This is another film that you can see on HBO Max. This was a 2020 film, I believe. At least that's how I have it written down here. Yep. So we're going to talk about it real quick. The film tonight is Greenland.
The sky's on fire.
Come on, let's go.
With the largest fragment expected to hit in less than 24 hours, space agencies are expecting an extinction-level event.
The greatest chance of survival are the bunkers in Greenland.
Where we're gonna go? Gotta go now.
Okay.
such a brave guy, you know that?
I swear I will get us into those bunkers.
That's a little bit from the trailer for Greenland. This is on HBO Max for people to see and hear. And it's directed by Rick Roman Wog. And it is starring Gerard Butler, Marina Baccarin, David Denman, Hope Davis, and really most of the people in here just kind of not, I wouldn't say, not in the movie that much, but
yeah.
So it mainly Gerard Butler, Marina Baccarin, and their son, David Denman. Just kidding. He doesn't play the son.
That'd be great.
He's just there. He's wearing a little striped shirt and those propeller hats. Like, where are we going, Dad?
I'm a young boy.
I'm little. So this film was...
I'm David Din boy.
this was supposed to come out in theaters and it was delayed by the pandemic, which is the story for really any movie that's going to say 2020 behind it. So it was released on video on demand in December, and then it's on HBO Max. Now, this is a disaster film. And that's what it is. So if you didn't get that from, if you've never heard of this film, that's what it is. And I recommend seeing it. If you want to hear more, obviously, because you've seen the trailer, we'll go into it in a little bit more in depth. But I gave this one a 3.5 stars also. And maybe that was, it's probably not low, but it was, I enjoyed it much more than I enjoyed Those Who Wish Me Dead. This is a film where, normal stuff's happening. There's news reports of a comet. They're calling it a comet, I think, at the beginning of the film, which they've nicknamed Clark. And a recently discovered interstellar comet. And then as like the day or couple of days goes by in the exposition news stuff, is soon revealed that Clark, either the scientists misjudged it or the media downplayed the danger. But from one way or another, it becomes apparent that Clark is going to make impact, or fragments of it are going to make impact. And they're, you know, it's large. And so there's going to be global consequences to where these land. We have Gerard Butler playing a structural engineer, and this film takes place in Atlanta, which is actually really important when it comes to the geography of where Air Force bases are, where other states are. The whole movie is about getting to Greenland, so it's relevant that they live in the South. So Gerard Butler plays a Scottish structural engineer. He has a wife and son. His son has I think he has like type 1 diabetes or type 2. He has an insulin pump. He's a diabetic child. Him and his wife are kind of in the middle of like they're having a thing. I guess they had like a brief separation, but their marriage is on the rocks, we'll just say.
A new reconciliation that's still awkward.
Yes. Yeah. And while they're having a get together, their first get together with neighbors in a while, he receives a presidential message specifically to him, that he has been selected to be taken to an undisclosed location for his safety. Of course, this happens in the middle of a party. So people who didn't get the message are seeing this and they're wondering, why you've been selected. So the essential plot, and you can guess why. I mean, because of his skill set. I mean, I guess within the first, I mean, as soon as it's going on, it's like, oh, it's because he's a builder and they want to make sure all the people they need to rebuild society survive. So the plot conceit of the movie is that people around the world have been pre-selected to survive a global extinction event. So the film becomes about him trying to get to this place, which they kind of hear might be in Greenland. And a lot of stuff happens between the message and the end of the film that gets in the way of all of them making it to Greenland safely. And I'm not going to go through beat by beat what they are. You really shouldn't even look at the trailer too much. I was very entertained by this movie, and I was very much invested in the characters and in their fate. And I just enjoyed it. What about you, Dustin?
Yeah, I gave this 2.5 stars.
Okay.
And it's not because I hated it. Mm-hmm. Like I think, you know, traditionally our 2-star is, it didn't piss me off. It's just kind of like, it's under average, but it's not, you know, it's not so bad that I'm mad that I'm watching it.
Right.
And that's where this kind of fell for me, but 2.5, because it's inching on up to being just fine.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good ideas here. I love the idea that, you know, this is a family who've been selected and then they get turned away. They get separated, have to find each other, have to get to Greenland, have to do all this stuff. That's all super interesting to me. And there's some really great ideas thrown in there. I think it's in the execution that I wasn't a huge fan. To me was pretty predictable, pretty easy to figure out where we're going with all of this. The relationship between the two leads becomes a little bit too easy, a bit too easy of a reconciliation, or a bit too easy of like, a new trust being built. It feels like it. I know they go through a lot, but it also just feels a little bit easy. There's a lot of really good ideas here, and I just wish it had been executed a little bit better. I love the idea that we're going to see a disaster movie, not from the perspective of spectacle, but we're going to watch it through the eyes of normal people and how are they viewing this? And so their knowledge, their view of it is limited to what they see with their eyes or what's being broadcast over television or radio to them,
right?
Or told to them, you know, just by another person. So their experience, like our experience as an audience, is through their eyes, which is just inherently limited. We're not following a scientist. We're not following like, you know, a meteorologist or, you know, some government agent who's, you know, like being our vehicle for exposition. Like we're just kind of along for the ride here.
Yeah.
I really love that idea. I do kind of wish we had characters that I latched onto a little more. I think it was pretty easy from scene one to figure out maybe why they were briefly separated. So when this is revealed as some sort of like big moment, I'm like, yeah, I already knew that.
Right.
There's only a few things it could have been. And it just feels to me like they're at least in execution, the ideas got a little bit jumbled.
Yeah.
And the like roadway to from beginning to end felt a little bit formulaic and a little bit convenient at times. So I'm an Atlanta guy. I enjoyed the setting. I enjoyed being like, I know where that is. And I think that as far as actors and actresses go here, first of all, I'm going to say that Roger Dale Floyd, who plays the little boy, does a really great job. This is a good episode for kids and movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really like Morena Baccarin. I'm just partial to her anyway, because I love Firefly so much.
Yeah.
But I think she does a really great job here. I've never been a big fan of Gerard Butler, so I could take it or leave it.
I like that guy. I just like him. Yeah. He's one of those people who I really give him a pass a lot.
Sure. Sure. I think that, you know, he does fine. It's not a bad performance by any stretch.
It's a lot better when they let him just be Scottish.
Yeah.
He's one of those actors, kind of like remember Sam Worthington? I know it's hard.
Vaguely.
Sam Worthington was always better when they didn't try to make him an American and they just let him be Australian. Like I remember watching Wrath of the Titans.
Okay.
And I remember saying like, he's a lot more natural in this movie, and it's just because he's not using half of his brain to be American.
Yeah.
Just one less thing he has to think about when he delivers a line.
Right.
And it's just a whole lot better when you he could have been from Georgia. Like you could have cast a guy to play like a Southerner, but
sure.
Atlanta's a large city and people come in, especially if you have a skill set suited to to a big city, it doesn't matter. It doesn't disrupt the story at all just to have him. It only takes like one or two lines written later in the film to reference that he's even Scottish.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm fine with that.
Right.
I do ultimately feel like, you know, it could have gone to a number of other actors and the movie wouldn't have really changed much.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, there's, you know, I think it's just kind of like depending on your tolerance level for him or for Miranda Baccarin. Like I've heard people who aren't a big fan of her. And so, you know, it's fine. Like everybody has
shut up.
Right. I agree. But there are, you know, it's a personal thing.
Yeah.
For me, I could take her to leave the lead.
Did you like 2012? Did you see that movie?
I did not see 2012 because I don't watch Roland Emmerich anymore, but
well, I love 2012.
Okay.
I have it on Blu-ray, I think still. Okay. And I'd like, so this reminded me of that in a sense, you
sure.
know, and also I think I enjoyed enough San Andreas with Dwayne Johnson and Carla Gugino. Mm-hmm. Of course I'd watch them in anything for a number of reasons.
Put The Rock in Greenland and I think it becomes a more, at least charismatic, lead.
Yeah. And I think, I already am predisposed to just enjoying like, broken family going through, you know, coming together during a huge disaster.
Sure.
How does the director envision a disaster unfolding? You know, what is it going to be? Is it like, you know, 2012 is, as you might imagine, lots of destruction spectacle, but the effects are really good. They hold up.
Yeah.
It's just a whole lot of particle simulations and land simulations and stuff. So it's, you know, but it's a feast for visual effects lovers. But also I think that John Cusack I just like John Cusack and I love Amanda Peet. And so, I just think that's a good movie for that. I think Woody Harrelson has a giant mountain collapse on him, which I enjoyed. So I think these are already up my alley to begin with. So I think if you're looking for that kind of movie, if you're just like, yeah, it's been a while since I've seen a disaster flick, I want to watch one that doesn't suck. I think that this one, works for that. And I wonder, you know, movies like this, why do they get made again all of a sudden when they've been spoofed? How do they have a resurgence and be taken seriously? I think it's because, you know, when it's one of those escapism things, like it's either like, hey, I know things seem bad, but at least it's not this, or we're going to use this as an allegory for what society is like now. And I always think it's interesting to watch how characters in an increasingly safe feeling modern day or overly safe modern day existence to suddenly have to react when there's effectively no police or social order. That was one of the things that was great about War of the Worlds. I just remember like just the idea that you have to kill this other person just to keep him quiet so that your family can survive. Like just the moral grayness of just doing things that are unthinkable just to survive. Or even like the films and books like The Road, which is a lot darker take on that sort of a thing.
For sure.
I enjoy every now and then, not too often, peeking into that and just going like, all right, where are we at with this subject? Do we have any radical new thought here? Or is it kind of the same, like people are good still, or there is hope, or in this case, like, it's okay, guys, government's thought of this, which is a kind of weird message, like, don't worry about it. Their government's got it.
Yeah, the government can figure it out. Yeah.
It's like, there's no way. I think, and when the movie was over, Tara said, like, all right, so I guess we can thank the Cold War, because it seems like in a lot of movies that because of the Cold War, we have bunkers like all over the world.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think those bunkers are real. You're gonna have nut jobs flying up to Greenland every time there's a contentious election.
Yep.
You know, just on the middle of a glacier, like with those little ski sticks, like looking
let
for.
Let me in.
I know you're in there, Santa.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's a solid movie at least. And so if you have HBO Max and you're looking for something entertaining to watch, I would say this fits the bill.
Yeah, and I would say if you're interested in disaster films or disaster films from a different perspective, this might be for you. I, your mileage may vary. So just know that going in. But I thought it was fine. Like I was not actively mad at it.
Right.
Do with that what you will. I was not at that. Put that on the DVD box.
I don't hate this.
I was not actively mad at it.
I will say this. I am, because I listened to a show called Junk Food Cinema, and they are doing a series this summer on the Fast and the Furious films. So I have seen most of those, but there's a couple I haven't, and many of them I have not seen recently. So speaking of HBO Max, the first two films are on HBO Max, and so I managed to squeeze them both in over the weekend. I watched a lot of movies this weekend. I was able to squeeze them both in before my subscription times out in June. The rest of them are, I think I have an iTunes gift card for like $25. So I think I'm just going to rent the rest of them on iTunes. I'm not even going to go to the library. I'll probably be talking about those in the coming weeks as I revisit them. And because I don't think I've reviewed any of them on this show. I don't think I've ever really talked about them. And you've seen none of them, right?
I've seen Fast 8 or Fate of the Furious, whatever it's called.
I have not seen that one. Dustin, you should check these out.
The best thing I can say about them is this. I saw F8 and I thought, you know what? That was a lot better than it had any right to be.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. So perhaps one day I will sit down and check them out, but maybe I'll wait till it's over. Like any good television show.
I'll wait till it's over and see if they
screw it up at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when's that final? There's supposed to be a 10th one, right?
Yeah, in a couple of years, maybe.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they're kind of all over the place in terms of I couldn't find any streaming service that had any of them except for the first two on Max, and that's it. I've been pleasantly surprised so far. I won't get into why yet, though.
Sure.
I'll do it another time. But it'd be cool to talk about the series with you. I'll review them at some point, maybe. And
speaking of series that we're watching, I just watched The Conjuring for the first time.
Okay.
And I'd like to watch The Conjuring 2.
Yeah.
In preparation for the third one that comes out soon. Now, I'm not going to go into all of the spinoffs and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think I might watch the trilogy.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen the first Conjuring. I watched that back in my... I think it was 2014.
That's on HBO Max, and Conjuring 2 is on Netflix, and 3 is coming out on HBO Max, I think, in June.
I can't do those movies anymore.
Yeah.
I walk around my house too much at night, like investigating stuff as it is. I don't need...
Sure. You don't need any more
need any more tension for my nighttime activities.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of nighttime activities, I'm going to go to sleep. So... thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back for another episode.
Next week. Next.
Next. Right now.
Next.
All right. Thanks, Dustin.
Thank you.
Woo. See ya.